कुंज विहारी। गोपीजना वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी। यमुनातीरावनचारी राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी। गोपीजन वल्लभा गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी। यमुनातीरावनचारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी। राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी। जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधा वृंदावन बिहारी राधे। राधा Gaurang Nittai, Shri Shri Gaurang Nittai, Gaurang Nittai, Shri Shri Gaurang Nittai. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Gurudev, 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 Gurudev. Kaliyuga Pavana Harinama Sankirtanaki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashtaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam from the third canto, 16th chapter. Jaya and Vijay cursed by the sages. Text number 27. Brahma Vacha Atate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tadadhishthanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabhum Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham Brahmo Vacha Athate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tadadhishthanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham Brahmo Vacha Athate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tadadhishthanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham Athate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tadadhishthanam Vaikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham Brahmo Vacha Athate Munayo Drishtva Nayanananda Bhajanam Vaikuntham Tadadhishthanam Vikuntham Cha Swayam Prabham Brahmo Vacha Athate Munayo Drishtva I వైకుంఠం తదధిష్టానం వికుంఠం చ స్వయం ప్రభం బ్రహ్మ అథ కే మనయో Brahma uvacha. Lord Brahma said, Atha, now, te, those, munayaha, sages, drishtva, after seeing, nayana, of the eyes, ananda, pleasure, bhagavan, bhajana, producing, vaikuntham, the Vaikuntha planet, tat, of him, adhishthanam, the abode, vikuntham, the supreme personality of Godhead, cha, and swayam prabham, self-illuminating, translation purport by his divine grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki, translation, Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left their transcendental abode. Purport. The transcendental abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita and confirmed in this verse, is self-illuminated. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in the spiritual world, there is no need of sun, moon or electricity. What is that verse? Atat bhasyate suryo na shashanko na pavakaha. That's what he's saying. This indicates that all the planets there are self-illuminated, self-sufficient and independent. Everything there is complete. Lord Krishna says that once one goes to that Vaikuntha planet, he never returns. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha never return to the material world. But the incident of Jaya and Vijay was a different case. They came to the material world for some time and then they returned to Vaikuntha. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakhyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sakitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Lord Brahma said, after seeing the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the self-illuminated Vaikuntha planet, the sages left that transcendental abode. So this episode of Jaya Vijay leaving Vaikuntha created some controversy amongst the Vaishnavas. At one point of time, when two of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Kundalidas and Satyanarayan Prabhu, they came up with a book called as Even the Leaves Do Not Fall from Vaikuntha. So they published this book and it was also being sold out. Suddenly the GBC took notice of this book and then they called for a committee of Shivaram Maharaj and Suhotra Maharaj and many others and told them that this book seems to be saying something opposite to what Srila Prabhupada says in his regular lectures and everything. So then there was a very big conversation, discussion, and the GBC came up with a book called as Our Original Position, which is actually based on the Prabhupada's purports and commentaries. Generally speaking, in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, very mature and intelligent speakers generally avoid controversies. Even if it occurs in the purport, slowly they skip it and they go to some other topic where we can talk on something which is non-controversial and everybody goes back peacefully. For example, the purport says, you know, women are less intelligent or, you know, women like to be raped or something like that, you know. So, when somebody reads it, one may altogether take on some other different topic, never to touch the topic. Yeah, in an assembly of very big number of devotees, sometimes it's better not to bring in the controversies and create a messy situation of people having some heated arguments. But the controversies have to be resolved and the right understanding has to be blossomed. And if we do not do that, they will always remain in the background of our mind. For example, one of the students who came to a class, he was just standing 4 or 5 rounds. Suddenly one young preacher told him that we never went to moon. And that was the end of his class. He went away. He never came back after that. So there is a stage in which such things have to be clarified properly. So we have a session called as Faith and Doubt. For 3 full days we do this. Faith in Shastra, doubt in Shastra. Faith in holy name and doubts about the holy name. Now you may say, Prabhu, the 5th offense says you can never doubt the glories of the holy name. Yes, we should not doubt, but doubt is there, what to do? It appears like a hyperbole, exaggeration. Our mind feels it. Somebody, you go and tell somebody, Prabhu, I am a little doubtful about the holy name. How can the method be so simple? Immediately you say, hey, you are a 5th offense offender. You know, you are offending the holy name. Yes, somebody may have some such doubts. So those who are learned, acharyas, you can go and ask them these questions and they will clarify. And then they have clarified also for each of the offenses how to understand it properly. So in the same manner, there can be faith in ISKCON, doubts about ISKCON. Faith in Srila Prabhupada, even doubts about Srila Prabhupada. Somebody may say, doubt about Srila Prabhupada. How can somebody have? You are dismissed. You are out of the door. Yes, we should not have doubts about Prabhupada, but in a neophyte stage of having so many impurities in our heart, when we look at Prabhupada, we may sometimes get bewildered when Prabhupada is chastising scientists as rascals or something like that. Like one boy had a question. I saw one photo, Prabhupada was wearing one gold ring in each of the 10 fingers. Sometimes when Prabhupada would meet his disciples, they would come and give him rings. So Prabhupada would keep on adding. And then all the 10 fingers, somebody clicked that photograph. And then afterwards, after 10 minutes, somebody else comes, Prabhupada would remove it and give it to them. Finally, there are no rings in his finger. So for Prabhupada, receiving a ring and giving the ring is not much different from receiving a rose and giving away a rose. Is it the same for us? Imagine somebody gives you a gold ring. Are you going to give it easily to somebody? So when I told this, the boy's doubt was immediately clarified. He could develop more love and faith in Prabhupada after that. So similarly, faith in devotees, doubts about devotees. we may have. So this kind of faith, faith and doubt, faith is actually the core, faith, which is covered over by some layer of doubts, which has to be cleared up, and then the faith glows, the deep faith, the genuine faith glows. So when we have some such questions in our mind, something appears unacceptable, then one has to go and clarify from superiors. Like recently somebody floated in the WhatsApp about Prabhupada's statement on rape, which came in from Delhi and all over India and everything. So that is the time when our GBCs and others took it up very seriously to do more research into the subject. They called for psychologists. They also, all the Prabhupada's senior most lady disciples gave a letter saying that Srila Prabhupada was so affectionate to us like a father. You know, we never were mistreated in this society. So they wrote a letters and all, confirming that Prabhupada has always been behaving as a Vaishnava and never spoke ill of women anywhere, anytime. So when the psychologists did a research, they found that there is a very deep-rooted, deep-seated desire in the women, by which they have a desire to impress men, opposite sex especially. They want some man to woo at them or become mad for them, crazy for them. So the Delhi police said, a woman dressed properly, we can reduce the rape cases by, you know, from what it is now to 75% can be reduced. There will only be 20-25% cases may happen. 75% we can reduce it if they dress properly. So some of the Delhi women said, why should we be told to dress properly? Let the men have more sense control. They were saying. So the articles which were published by Anuttam Prabhu and many others, if you see, they have given the ISKCON's stand also, and Chaitanya Prabhu and other people have published. So when you get an overall picture, finally, when psychologists, what they have said comes to the same conclusion what Srila Prabhupada says in his purport. So Prabhupada is not wrong. We have to understand how Prabhupada is saying is correct. In fact, there were one class of group of people in ISKCON who wanted to change some purports of Prabhupada. They were saying that Prabhupada's stand on women is too strong and everything. One thing is, certain facts cannot be hidden. For example, Yashoda is holding a stick in her hand and binding Krishna. If somebody comes and says that, you know, this is child abuse, you know, how can you, you know, bind up a child with a rope? Even in modern times, it's rare to find a mother binding her son with a rope. How many of you are bound in your childhood by your mother? Correct? So all mothers have learned from Yashoda how to bind a boy. And why did Mother Yashoda bind Krishna to the pillar? Because she was afraid that the child has become afraid of me. And what if when Yashoda called Krishna as, you are like a monkey. And you know what Krishna said? My dear mother, you are calling me a monkey. Then I will go to the jungle and live with the monkeys. Like that he said. So she became frightened. The boy will run away in anger. Sometimes adamant child may do anything, you know. So out of fear that he will run away, she bound him to the pillar. So her binding Krishna to the pillar is a sign of her very deep love for him. And she only kept a stick to reform him and bring him to the right path of not telling lies and not stealing and things like that. She never intended to whip him or beat him with that. So Prabhupada also told in Gurukulas, you can show the stick but don't beat the child. Like the snake can hiss but not bite. And Narada Muni told the snake also like that. So, but these things have to be understood in a proper context. Otherwise, it may appear that it appears like a child abuse. And this cannot be denied because this is one of the biggest pastimes in the entire Bhagavatam. Yashoda binding Krishna and showing the stick. Is it not true? Imagine somebody says, let us remove this section from Bhagavatam, Damodar Leela. Can you do that? Similarly, there were people who wanted to modify Prabhupada's purports, and that modification desire comes due to a superiority complex, thinking that we know better than the Acharya. You know we have superior knowledge. You know, we are more balanced, as if the Acharya is fanatical or something. Acharya is not fanatical, we are fanatical. So we should know how to understand Prabhupada's purports to be like a north, true north principle, like a magnetic compass. Anywhere you turn it around, it will always show direction to north only. Like that Prabhupada's purports, you will see. If we don't understand, that is our problem, not Prabhupada's problem. We have to find out how to understand it. And that is what GBC has done in their book called as Our Original Position, where they clarify this, about this. So, what was the controversy and what explanations these two personalities gave and how the GBC counteracted it? So, within the limited time, I will briefly present it. And with what confidence am I presenting it here? I am presenting it with full confidence because my conclusions are going to confirm Srila Prabhupada's purports only. So if somebody comes with a conclusion opposite to Acharya's purport, what is the use? It is good for nothing. He only becomes asar. He becomes good for nothing. But the GBC is writing, Shivaram Swami and others, they have given very powerful eye-opening arguments to establish this truth. So, how this controversy began, in some purports, Prabhupada says, no one falls from Vaikuntha. Some purports before he must have heard also. Correct, no? No one falls from Vaikuntha. So, here also Prabhupada says here, if you see, the inhabitants of Vaikuntha never return to material world, but the incident of Jaya and Vijay was a different case, he says. That means there can be some cases of people also who come to material world also. They came to material world for some time and then they returned to Vaikuntha. So, when some disciples saw this statement in Prabhupada's book, no one falls from Vaikuntha, then they asked the question to Prabhupada, how did we fall down from the spiritual world? So, there are many letters of Prabhupada and also 4th canto, 8th chapter, there are statements where Prabhupada very clearly says, originally we were with Krishna and participating in the pastimes, but we developed an independent desire to be independent of him. So we have come to this material world and we have to purify ourselves and then we go back home, back to Godhead. He writes it in the 4th canto. Similarly, there are many letters. Sometimes people have extrapolated Prabhupada's explanation. For example, sometimes in a night we dream, isn't it? And then in the morning when you wake up, you are out of the dream. Similarly, in some places, Srila Prabhupada explains that this material world, it only exists like a dream. But when we wake up to Krishna consciousness, all this dream will be evaporated. But at the same time, we should know, although the material world exists like a dream, it is not a dream. It is real. Matter is real. Matter is eternal, but the manifestation of matter is temporary. Like for example, you take chapati floor this much. That chapati floor is real, correct, no? It is existing. But from that you can take out one gola and make circles. And then you roll chapati, you can make triangular chapati, circular chapati, square chapati, you can make also. Different shapes, correct, no? Or sometimes people make this much floor and they have mold for making different forms of birds, animals, correct, like tiger, deer, different bird, human beings. Children also do that with china clay. You have seen that? China clay, they do that. After finishing the project or whatever teacher tells them to do, then they put everything together. Correct? That is pradhan, isn't it? You know, the mahatattva pradhan, like that. So all the forms and shapes given to the living entities, that is temporary. So we are given temporary names, temporary forms in the material world, which is only like a blanket over the soul. That is only temporary. And later on everything is, conglomeration is mixed together. Like earth goes to earth, water goes to water, fire goes to fire, like that it goes. So, matter is eternal, but the manifestations of matter is, temporary. Yeah. So, we should know that matter is also one of the energies of the Lord, and it is real. And Prabhupada says, Brahmam Satyam Jagat Mithya. This statement is Mithya. Jagat is not Mithya. Jagat is eternal. Jagat is real. But this is their concoction, Prabhupada says. So, similarly, there is another statement some devotees try to compromise. One example is given in Prabhupada's purports. Like there is sun in the sky which falls in the reflection of oils or water kept in thousands of pots. This example is given for the super soul, where there is one sun in the sky and it is reflecting in all the thousands of pots like that. So this example is given for the super soul. This does not mean that super soul is there present only in the, you know, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu is only in the Shvetadvip, and he is not there in our hearts. There are some devotees who give a wrong interpretation, saying that actually it is not that Lord is in your heart. Lord is there only, but it is just like a, you know, he is keeping track of every one of us, they say, which is not true. Lord is personally present. Every one of us have a private Paramatma. The Radhana Swami Maharaj once in a lecture said, every one of us have our own private Paramatma. It is not that there is only one Paramatma there. Samane Vrikshe Purusho Nimagno Anishaya Shochati Muhyamanaha. This verse says, in every tree, how many birds are there? Two birds are there. It doesn't say only one bird. One bird is here, one bird is here. It doesn't say that. Both are present. So, in this way, we should not try to, you know, undermine the truths that are mentioned in the scriptures as if, you know, we are very intellectual and shrewd and smart. We can do whatever thing we want to do and mutilate the truth. So sometimes devotees, while giving explanation, they bring their own logic to speak such things, then it can turn to Mayavada or something. So we should present the way Srila Prabhupada has presented. Don't, and why we don't present sometimes like that? Because we ourselves are not convinced. Like for example, why this controversy came, Prabhupada says in some places, no one falls from Vaikuntha. So these people came up with the point that if somebody has had association with the Lord, they can never fall down. They have seen the Lord, they have touched the Lord, they have had exchanges with Him, and they have lived on a Vishuddha Sattva platform. From there, how can they fall? There is not a single example like that, they said. So Suhotra Swami wrote a full article in that book, you'll read, on how Kala Krishna Das falls down, even in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was serving Mahaprabhu, he was not just traveling with him, he was also serving. He was assisting, serving, he was in close touch, still he fell down. So he gives this example to show that it is not that being in the association of the Lord, it's not that the jiva cannot fall at all. Similarly, Dvivida Gorilla, you will see, in South India, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Darbar, when people worship, they keep these two more monkeys on the altar also. Even now, you will see in South India, Mahinda and Dvivida. So they both are kept. Even today also, they are counted as associates of Lord Ramachandra, even today. But you can see how the Dvivida Gorilla fall down doesn't mean you stumbled and fell on the ground. Falling down means falling from our position of servitorship and imagining ourselves to be master. That is the fall down. That's what happened to Dvivida. And you find he is fighting against his own master, Balram, who is Adi Guru. He is trying to hit him, beat him. And his whole culture and behavior became so degraded from such an exalted position. So they begin with this point that, you know, because Prabhupada says no one falls from Vaikuntha, nobody falls. Yes, it is true. Prabhupada says, why he says no one falls from Vaikuntha, we can explain also. That is explained by them. They have said that it generally when we think of this prospect that jiva can be, you know, can, you know, run after maya, it appears like an impossibility. Somebody is feeling so much bliss, somebody is feeling so much ecstasy, you know, suddenly he turns around and, you know, how he chases after maya, does maya become more attractive? So these things Prabhupada has explained. Prabhupada says Jiva doesn't become more attracted to Maya than Krishna. That is not a fact. But the Jiva develops a desire to be independent of Krishna. Father Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse, Krishna Bhuliya Sayi Jiva Anadi Bahir Mukha Atta Yeva Maya Deya Samsara Dukkha. He's telling long, long before the Jiva has turned his face away from Krishna. He has developed a desire to be independent. Now, for example, Say somebody has joined ISKCON society, he's joined the temple, he is getting very nice prasadam, he is getting nice company of devotees who are bowing down to him, saying vancha kalpatarubhyascha, and they respect him. How many people do vancha kalpatarubhyascha in the offices, isn't it? But in temple, devotees do vancha kalpatarubhyascha to one another. He is given food, prasad, he is given clothing, he is given his locker, he is given good company of friends, he is given nice intellectual nourishment through reading the, studying the books also. Everything is there. So when you carefully observe a very healthy ISKCON temple, where one is getting all facilities, you will confidently say that nobody will want to leave this place. Correct, no? You can say that. But still people leave. Do you agree? Still people leave. Why? Ye mana durmati samsara bitare padiya achenu ami tavane dadana kono mahajane pathaiya dile tumi. He says, you know, it is only by the independent desire of the jivatma turns away from Krishna. At that time Maya is not, you know, he doesn't think of Maya while turning away. But because he turned away, Maya becomes the default option for him. Then he accepts Maya. For example, you ask any saffron brahmachari, do you, you feel that you seem to be having some attraction for the opposite sex. Are you ready to take an IT job? No, no, Prabhuji will say. Are you ready to take a loan for purchasing a house? No, no, never, Prabhuji. Are you ready to wear pants, shirt and go to an office working 14, 16 hours a day? Never, Prabhuji. But still they change ashram. There are people. Why? Because the desire to leave ashram and go out is the first desire. And then marrying a woman and struggling like a slogging outside working in a company, that is a default option which comes later. Similarly, the jiva's desire is first to turn away from Krishna. What you are going to do, that I don't know. But right now I don't want this fellow. You leave me outside. Aage kya hoga baad mein dekhenge. He just leaves and he goes. And then Maya becomes very attractive. Once Her Grace Malati Mataji was telling in Pune Yatra, which is still ringing in my mind, such a beautiful statement. She said that when we turn away from Krishna, the 24 elements of Maya, they all orient themselves in such a manner that they start becoming very attractive for us. The elements of this material world, they align themselves in such a manner that it becomes like a very attractive phenomenon for the jiva with the polluted consciousness. So that polluted consciousness is called chitta. Chit means pure consciousness. Chitta means contaminated consciousness. Prabhupada translates it. So then with that contaminated consciousness, when we look at this world, it becomes very attractive. So in this way, Prabhupada actually says that the general principle is that the jiva is in the spiritual world. Now this may create some fear in our hearts. Oh, even if I go to Godhead, I can fall down. Is it possible? But yad gatva na nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. If one has already fallen and one has become purified and gone back, then the remembrance of material world will remain like a nightmare in the background of our mind, Prabhupada says in one place. So because of that fear, we will never want to come back again, because it would be like touching fire. Sometimes a child wants to find out, what is this fire moving like this? You know, he is finding something interesting. He goes and puts his finger, then he gets a burn. Then never he will want to go and touch it again. Correct, no? So, in this way, we develop a fear, a healthy fear for the material world. Just like there's an electric wire lying on the road, you will not go and touch it. Because you don't know whether it is a live wire or, do you want to touch it and then learn a lesson? No. So we also give up like that. He says that. So when Srila Prabhupada answered many of the letters, mails which were sent to him by his disciples, whatever he has said in the purport, he clarified it more, even more. And he quoted from his own purport also. You will read, you will see in this particular verse, it is said like this. And Prabhupada clearly said that the jiva turns away from Krishna, because he has some amount of free will, can turn away. But once you go to spiritual world, there is no falling again. Like the Prabhupada says that also. Yad gatva nivartante tadam brahma. Which means, if somebody has not fallen, they stand a chance to come. But if somebody has fallen and gone back, they learnt experience in the material world, they will not come, it is said. But another most important thing is this, that the jiva will not accidentally fall down. It will only intentionally fall down. For example, we have to know the difference between accidental fall down and intentional fall down. His Holiness Jayadutt Swami Maharaj, in one of the question answers I read, he says, one fellow asked about accidental and incident, intentional. He gives very beautiful examples. He says, in Bangladesh, they dug some well for the welfare of the people, so they'll get drinking water and all. No? But when they were digging deeper and deeper, suddenly the arsenic content was very high, due to which some diseases started spreading, epidemic started spreading everywhere. So he says, the original intention of digging the well was to supply water, correct, no? But then the after effects which came after digging the well became counterproductive, correct, no? Similarly, sometimes a person thinks that I will preach to that Mataji and make her a devotee, but then he himself becomes married to her only, correct, no? Like one Toyota Mataji wanted to be preached by one sannyasi, and then the sannyasi went and married her after that, afterwards. So the original intention was good, but then the subsequently the result, aftermath, which came was an unfortunate thing like that. So this can be considered accidental because it was not intended. Original intention was good, isn't it? Another example he gives is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all of them, they all can have some errors in the erratic behavior. Like it is said, Vidyam, Vivadaya, Dhanam, Madaya, Shakti, Paresham, Paripidanaya. See, this verse says, yeah, Brahmana can become proud of his knowledge and he can do vad vivad, which is called vitanda vad, we call it. Useless, futile argument, catching on to one side of the truth. That is impurity in a Brahmana. Similarly, Kshatriya's impurity is he can use his strength for molesting women who should not be mistreated. Or Kshatriya can become aggressive and lord over people or dominate Brahmanas, and he can prepare a ghastly future for himself. Similarly, a Vaishya can, you know, buy something in 20 rupees and sell it at 20,000 rupees. He can cheat people by making exorbitant profit. Similarly, Shudra can give up his loyalty sometimes for the sake of money or something. So, in this way, these are also inherent flaws in the four varna aspects. So, he says that these are not intended. Like Brahmana is doing yajna, do you think he intends to kill the animal when he is putting in sacrifice Gomedha yajna, Ashwamedha yajna? He doesn't intend to kill them, but he wants them to get a human body. But sometimes the yajna may be imperfect, so when he puts them in the fire, the animal may not get a human body. Then the sin comes on the yajaman also, because of that. Just like Prachana Parishad was told by Narada Muni, isn't it? So in this way, in the course of executing our duties, we produce some smoke also, you know, imperfections also, which are also forgivable eventually if one offers the fruits of one's work to the Supreme Lord. Then the smoke-like defects in our work will be overcome. Yajñārthāt karmaṇah anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana, it is said. So these are also accidental mistakes, he says, acceptable. But then he says, what is not accidental? Suddenly one develops a desire to go to a prostitute. Prabhupada gives this example in NOD also. And then he says, I don't want to go, it's improper, I should not go. But then he goes and then enjoys it there. And then after returning back, he regrets very badly. And then again he makes a thought, makes a plan, phones up. And then again he goes. And while going, he says, this is improper, and Shastra says this, and so many things. So he says, this is intentional, he says. This is not accidental. It is very well planned. He has made up his mind to do the wrong thing. And his quoting verses or his knowing of what is right and wrong is simply useless. He has become extremely covered over, blinded by passion. So there is a very clear demarcation between accidental and intended. That's very clear. Nobody can say, you know. But of course, the sin is a very messy thing. Like Nriga, for example, intended to give cows. But then he got trapped in some problem and he became a lizard in the next life. So that is why Shastra say, don't take any chances doing pious activities. Do spiritual activities. Because in spiritual activities, even the apparent sins which may happen unintentionally, they are all taken away by Krishna also. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami, he says. So it's best to resort to spiritual activities. In the course of spiritual activities, whatever defects may come, Krishna will purify us and elevate us with that. What is that verse? Atachetasi papebhya sarvebhya papakrittamaha sarvam jnana plavenaiva vrijanam santarishyasi, he says. No? Atachetasi papebhya. Even if you are the greatest of the sinners, Krishna says, don't worry. You come to me, I have the potency to purify you, he says. I can deliver you, he says. So, the jiva going out of Vaikuntha, coming to material world, is not some accidental thing. Suddenly you are standing, some of the people have said that Jai Vijay were actually not inside the gate, they were outside the gate. That is why they slipped and fell down, they say. It is not that, you know, you are going to slip and fall like, you know, you are standing in the end, you fall. It's not like that. It's not that type of fall. It's the intent. The jiva actually leaps into maya on his own. Exactly like a boy who is depressed. He goes to a 100-story building and he leaps into the sky and then falling on the ground, committing suicide. It's not that somebody climbed up a 50th floor, a 100th floor, suddenly they slipped and fell off. Yeah, they have put parapet walls and everything, not that you will slip and fall, unless you climb and jump off. So jiva's coming is like climbing and jumping out. That is very, very clear. There is no ambiguity. And that is how Prabhupada has presented in all his purports also. And Sridhara Swami says the same thing. In his purports, it's very clear. Prabhupada has quoted from Sridhara Swami also. So now, if it is so clear, then why these people have given some, trying to give some counter arguments? You know what they say? They say that sometimes Jiva Goswami may give certain commentaries which don't tally with Sridhara Swami. Sometimes Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives some commentary which don't tally with Jiva Goswami, which may sometimes be a different viewpoint. So they have quoted these examples to say that because our acharyas have sometimes given counter this thing also, so we can also give. But what GBC has said, only acharya can confront another acharya, they have said. We are not acharyas. We are simply reading acharya's commentaries and explaining to others. We cannot confront them. You cannot go even to a previous acharya, you know, like, you know, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Baladev Vidyabhushan or Goswamis or Sridhara Swami, and then put Prabhupada in the operation table and see him through the electron microscope. You cannot do that. Because we are coming in parampara, we are getting the descending mercy, descending knowledge through Srila Prabhupada. In fact, we have to see Prabhupada, and then with Prabhupada's blessing and permission, we have to see the previous acharyas. And these people, they took shelter of one book, famous book by Jiva Goswami called Jaiva Dharma, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. See, Jaiva Dharma book was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for a specific purpose. Because in his times, there were many intelligent boys who were joining the Rajaram Mohan Roy's Brahmo Samaj, Brahmoism, Brahmo Samaj. Arya, and similarly, some of them were joining Arya Samajis. They became Dayanand Saraswati's. So they were all joining this in big numbers, and the Vaishnavas were not considered very respectable because they thought Vaishnavas are sentimental fools and they are chanting and dancing and they don't have any philosophy. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur did in his times, he increased the respectability of Vaishnava culture by presenting novels which were based on Shastra. So in one such novel he presented called Jaiva Dharma, there are two characters. There is one Brajanath, who is a disciple, and there is Raghunath Das Babaji, who is a guru. And they have many wonderful conversations. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done, whatever doubts intelligent boys may get in their minds, that he has spelled it out through Brajanath. And the Paramahamsa Babaji, Raghunath Das Babaji, the answers which they give will be powerful answers, enlightening. For example, now one question Brajanath is asking, that you are saying that, you know, in this world there is Srishti, Stiti, Pralaya, and all these things take place by Shakti is potency, which is Mahamaya. In the spiritual world, you are saying there is Sandini, Sambit, Ladini Shaktis are there. Not only that, there are many other Shaktis like, you know, Swarup Shakti, there is Icha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, there is Satya Sankalpa Shakti, Kripa Shakti. Ultimately, everything seems to be Shakti only. So he is asking a question. 99% of the work, both in the spiritual world and material world, is being done by Shaktis only. Then Vrajanath is asking a question, then who is God? That means Shakti should be supreme. And Shaktiman should be subordinate because he doesn't do anything. Shakti is only doing, you know. And then he's asking, is it possible that Shakti takes over? And Shaktiman is jobless. It can happen, no? Sometimes a man may be afraid to delegate his services to his juniors. Because if juniors take all the services, then what will I do? Especially when we are too much attached to micromanaging, then we have fear to delegate also. Correct, no? So sometimes when you become senior, we are more expected to be in the role of encouraging others. Correct, no? And then the younger ones do and come and show you, see, I have done. And you say, congratulations, Sabash, well done. Correct, no? But sometimes there is a big competition in companies also to delegate. Because there is a desire to show that I am a busy person. You know, to show that, you know, when people see that you are not too busy, they may wonder, hey, are you doing something or not? So people sometimes want to show like that. So this special fellow is asking question, what about Lord? He doesn't seem to be doing anything. Then Raghunath Das Babaji explains, understand, the Shakti only fulfills the Icha of Shaktiman. She will only do what Shaktiman wants her to do. And the Shakti always acts subordinate to Shaktiman. Without Shaktiman, Shakti has no existence, independent existence. Just like there is no sunlight without the sun. There is no moonlight without the moon. So without Shaktiman, Shakti has no separate existence, he explains. Finish. That one line answer is enough for pages of arguments that he makes. Similarly, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he has explained in one place in the Jaiva Dharma that there are some jivas found resting on Baladev, and there are some jivas found resting on Sankarshan, in the navel of Sankarshan, and there are some jivas found in the navel of Mahavishnu also. So like that, he mentions one sentence. So these people took that clue and said that those who are Vrijabhasis, they have come from Lord Balaram, because Balaram is the supreme servant of Krishna. So all the Vrijabhasis have come from Balaram. And those who are coming from Sankarshan, they go to Vaikuntha. And those who are coming from Mahavishnu, they are all jivas in material world who have never been in the spiritual world. That is what these people came up with, a theory of their own, based on this one sentence. See, Bhaktivinoda Thakur never says that Mahavishnu is the origin of these jivas. Nowhere he says that in his book. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur never says that these jivas were never in the spiritual world with Krishna. He doesn't say that. So they have pulled out, it's like called as reading between the lines, we say. So they have tried to, you can also read between the lines in Srila Prabhupada's purport if you want, but we should read between the lines in line with Prabhupada. Otherwise we are not allowed. We cannot pull out some wrong meaning. So how did they pull out the wrong meaning from this? They said, we think that those jivas who originated from Mahavishnu, they might not have had experience in spiritual world, and that is, so we all must be in that category, they said. But you will see, when somebody asks a similar type of questions to Prabhupada, Prabhupada says very clearly, the origin of all the jivas is only Krishna. It is not Balaram, it is not Sankarshan, it is not Mahavishnu. None of these personalities can be origin. Mama eva amsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. The jivas are only my amsha only. But then how are they then existing in Mahavishnu's navel? Because they are manifesting from Mahavishnu's navel. So manifesting and being created is not the same. Like, you know, Shiva is manifesting from the bhrigutti of Brahma. But Shiva is not born. Shiva is manifesting. Like, for example, imagine the owner of a company has a key bunch where 25 keys are there. But now he is going for a European tour for 2 months. So he gives it to the managing director, keep it. And suddenly the managing director is manifesting the key bunch. And you are wondering, oh, that means, you know, managing director has become the owner of the company. Can you say that? He is not the owner. He is just manifesting it because he is given that for some time. But the owner has given him. Similarly, you will find when Lord Krishna sees that some jivas are rebellious, they want to go to material world, what he does? He does two things. He sends Mahavishnu with the toolbox of all the avatars. Carry with you. And then Mahavishnu expands as, you know, Garbhadaksha Vishnus in different universes, and they carry these avatars. Then they expand as Kshirudaksha Vishnu, and he carries all the avatars. And sitting in Shvetadvip is releasing one by one. All the avatars, Dashavatar, Karakna, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha. And people in this world saying, oh, Vishnu is releasing all the avatars. So who is the origin of all avatars? They think Kshiradaksha Vishnu. Correct, no? They conclude like that, wrongly. But originally the avatars are all sent by Krishna. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. In the same manner, when Krishna sends avatars with Mahavishnu, same way he also sends those jivas who want to be independent of him in the spiritual world. That is why the Upanishadic Shruti Mantra says, Saha Aikshata. Aikshata means the Lord Vishnu glances at the spiritual world and accepts those jivas from Krishna. And Saha Asrijata means he creates the universes and then plants the jivas. He doesn't say, Saha Aikshata doesn't say that Mahavishnu created the jivas. He doesn't create, he only brings. Bringing is one thing and creating is another thing, correct? No? Like sometimes some of our student centers, they accept the prasadam from the temple, which comes in auto for them. Prasadam manifests there, that doesn't mean they made the prasad. They have simply borrowed from the temple, correct? No? So Mahavishnu is simply borrowing. And this is a very vital point. Because the Shruti Mantras cannot be denied that Vishnu glances at the spiritual world and he brings the jivas to the material world. There is evidence to show that. So in the same manner, there is another argument which they have made. Raghunath Das Babaji is approached by Vrajanath. He is asking a question to him. He is saying that why has the Lord made we jivas so weak that we cannot approach him? He is not easily approachable, and you know, it seems that we are so weak that we repeatedly fall down again and again. We are not able to lift ourselves up and look at the spiritual world. Why is it so? So at that time, Raghunath Babaji says that in this world, I mean, he says that the Lord has made a very vast variety of gradations of jivas. The highest is Mahabhav. Srimati Radharani is Mahabhav. And the lowest is the marginal potency, where there are, you know, different lower gradations. In the lower gradations, the jivas are fond of associating with Maya. But as you go to higher and higher gradations, for example, from Tamaguna, you go to Rajaguna. Tamaguna is dull, Rajaguna is active. And Sattvaguna, a person is very satisfied, even in pious activities. And he gradually, you know, loses taste for Maya. And Maya doesn't have grip on a person who is in Sattvaguna aiming at Shuddha Sattva. And once a person becomes transcendental, Maya cannot catch at all. Because the person is situated in Krishna's lotus feet. So Maya cannot have any hold at all. In this way, there are gradations of jivas, he explained. So these people took that one statement. And you know what they said? They say, we are coming under the category of weak jivas who are nitya baddhas. So that is why we are in the material world. We have no experience of Krishna. And the stronger jivas and nitya siddhas, they are in spiritual world. They have association with Krishna. Like that, they concluded. This is the wrong conclusion they have pulled out. In response, our GBC's Acharyas, they have given response to this. They have said what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in another place, in the same book, Jayavadharma. He says, Raghunath Das Babaji, in response to this question of Vrajanath, he says that the Lord has, Kundali Das and Satyanarayan Prabhu, they both have said, why the Lord has so many gradations of jivas? Because he wanted to do Leela. So the material world is also one of the leelas of the Lord. So for that he has created weak jivas like us so that we can occupy and the Lord can come and do pastimes here and go. Like that they said. So our Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanation of Raghunath Das Babaji, what he says that the Lord is not a sadist. The Lord does not A Lord is not a threatening person that he creates you only weak, that you know you are such a weakling you can never go back to Godhead, huh? So that he can enjoy pastimes. That would be like exploiting the jivas. Huh? This is not the way the Lord does, he has explained. And then he says, the Lord has created the gradations of situations to which the jivas can get attracted to. And we jivas have chosen the lower options, like tamaguna options and rajaguna options we choose. So then we call ourselves weak jivas because karanam guna sangosya sadasadyoni janmasu. Then you may ask a question, then why did he at all create tamaguna rajaguna in this world? What is the need? Because he says this is for testing the jivas and purifying them. Just like companies, if you see, they make this bike or car, you know. So they test it in worst conditions or in best conditions? Worst conditions. In advertisements they show, you know, it goes through a mountain or something, lot of stones, it goes like that. You've seen that, isn't it? Then what does that mean? If it can last that, then if you on a smooth road, if you apply, it can go very smoothly. Correct, no? Similarly, the Lord wants to give jiva. You have an independent desire to enjoy some lower things and all, you know, perishable commodities. Okay, you take this and then you get some experience yourself, get purified, then come to higher stages. But the Lord wants to make the jiva competent. Like say your father is giving you a new bicycle. He is his desire to see that you drive the bicycle, fall off and hurt your knee and bleed and he can clap hands and laugh at you. Is it your father's goal? See, very nice. That is why I gave you a new cycle. Will he say that? Father is giving you a cycle so you can drive properly. Now you may say, Prabhuji, how can he expect I'll drive properly? I'm sure to fall down. Because, you know, I have never driven a cycle. I'm struggling. Okay, Father knows. He will help you also. So in this world also, Lord is helping us. You will see, he comes as super soul. He comes as Shastra. He comes as holy rivers, holy temples, holy devotees, holy books. So many things. He's enveloping us from all sides to offer help. And he wants us to make us winners, not losers. When you win more than you, Lord is very happy that you can return back to Godhead. Correct, no? So we should not present Lord as a cruel person foolishly by our misinterpretations. So in this way, our Raghunath Das Babaji very beautifully explains to him that the Lord wants to make jiva competent, not weak. Weakness has come because of our wrong interactions. Like doctor gives him medicine to cure you, but we go home and we break the patya and we eat oily items and we increase our suffering. Doctor cannot be blamed. Blame is to be given to us. So, and also the jiva suffers at Maya's hands, not for simply getting tortured, but for giving up the wrong action. And the other day, did you hear? Our Pangajangir Prabhu told a beautiful example. He said, Maya has a trishul, our Durga Devi. She's piercing us from behind. Go near Krishna, go near Krishna. She's pushing you towards the altar. Go to Krishna. But then some people see Krishna and say, no, I don't want. Then you go in opposite direction, away from Krishna. Then the trishul enters more deeply. It pains more. So he was telling, the more we go away from Krishna, we resist Krishna consciousness, the Maya's trishul causes more pain. And when it causes more pain, then we think, okay, now I'll go near Krishna now, go more towards Krishna. So very beautifully, very graphically he was explaining that day. So we could say many, many more things. But in this way, each of their arguments are cut to pieces. Very beautifully, our ISKCON gurus, they have taken from Prabhupada purports and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's explanations, and they have counteracted all these different type of arguments. And also, we should know that we cannot know everything about everything. It's not possible. Whenever we cannot know everything, we should put it in an inconceivable box. We can keep it, and Krishna may reveal it more over a period of time. How many things we had in our life which we could not understand, and gradually we got answers also. And that is why you find Prabhupada says both. Generally, no one can fall from Vaikuntha because nobody slips from Vaikuntha. Only when one intends to come, then they come. And why we come, Prabhupada gave many reasons. He said, Krishna is Mayadish, and we can become Mayavash. Why? Because we are like a spark of fire, whereas Krishna is like a huge sun, like fire. Yeah, sun, even if you throw buckets of water in sun, nothing will happen. But even one glass of water can extinguish a small spark of fire. One is insignificance, Prabhupada said. Another thing, Prabhupada said, the jiva has a tendency to fall down, Prabhupada says, because of being infinitesimal. Whereas Krishna will never fall down because he is the supreme infinite whole. He cannot fall. And jiva is tatastha shakti, which means, you know, sometimes like the bank of the river which is wet, sometimes dry. Similarly, the jiva can also sometimes choose to come to this world, sometimes be with Krishna. Possibility is there, that free will is there. So many Prabhupada disciples try to argue with Prabhupada, saying that Krishna should not have given us the free will. He should have taken away the free will. And Prabhupada said, you want Krishna to make you a machine, Prabhupada said. You know, you want to. In fact, I have one article which Prabhupada's conversation from that. Does Krishna know our future? How many of you feel Krishna knows your future? Raise a hand. Most of you. How many of you feel Krishna doesn't know your future? Nobody. But the answer is Krishna does not know your future. That Prabhupada says that. You can, I can, if any of you have doubt about my point, I can send you the article. What Prabhupada says that, I will tell you. Karandar Prabhu brought Rai Ram. Rai Ram Prabhu had some doubts and Karandar Prabhu brought it to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, if Krishna knows our future, when will we go back to Godhead and all? If he knows, that means, you know, I have no independence. He has already decided. Correct, no? Then what independence I have? And then Prabhupada says, no, Krishna knows the consequences of your future actions, he says. For example, if you smoke cigarette, you will get lung cancer. If you drink liquor, you will get liver cirrhosis. That Krishna knows. But Krishna does not know what you will choose. By looking at you, your intentions, Krishna can guess what you are likely to choose. But he exactly doesn't know what you will choose, he said. But does that not limit Krishna, Prabhupada? He asked. Prabhupada said, then where is your independence? Prabhupada asked. See, Prabhupada understands him before he completes the point. He is asking Prabhupada, does that not limit Krishna, Prabhupada? Prabhupada is asking. Prabhupada said, don't think it is Krishna's limitation, it is Krishna's magnanimity. That he has given you the free will, and he wants to give you that, he respects that independence in you. That is why he is God. He is God, infinite powers he has, but he respects the infinitesimal jiva. And we people are many times finding difficulty sometimes to respect even an equal who is equally powerful also, isn't it? But Lord can respect somebody so insignificant also. He respects the individuality of the jivas. Now, for example, you all know this pastime of Mukunda. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I will not give my mercy to him for 10 million lifetimes. Correct, na? Then when Vaishnavas went and told him, Lord Chaitanya was upset with you, and he will not give his mercy for 10 million lifetimes. What Mukunda did? He started dancing. I have seen, he said. I have seen. They all asked, what did you see? He was not answering. I have seen, I have seen, I have seen. He started dancing everywhere. And then he told the people, I will see, I will see, he said. I will see Lord Chaitanya's mercy in 10 million lifetimes. Which means he has not rejected me altogether. Which means he is going to accept me. So when they all came and told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu became so blissful. He said, call him immediately. Immediately he gave him the mercy by seeing his very high positive attitude. Which goes to show that although Mahaprabhu said 10 million lifetimes, he changed his mind. So how many of you change your mind sometimes? You make a decision and you change your mind. Correct? So our changing our mind habit comes from Krishna only. Krishna also changes his mind. And that is why he does not know your future. Why? Because Krishna also depends on the attitude of the jiva to bestow him what to bestow. Another example, you have heard the story of Brahman and cobbler, correct, no? When Narada came back and told the Brahman, Lord says you will take, you know, millions of lifetimes to go back to him, correct, no? And the Brahman became angry at Narada. He said, I think you are simply cheating. You never went to Vaikuntha. You, such a qualified man like me, how can I take so many lifetimes? And then Narada understood, this fellow has no faith. Then he went to cobbler and said, in this very lifetime, you'll go back. Correct, no? Now somebody may ask a challenging question. That means Lord knows the Brahman will take million lives and cobbler will take only one lifetime. Correct, no? So the answer to this question is, if Brahman changes his attitude, immediately Lord will accept him in that lifetime only. In case he changes his attitude. Just like that milk drinking brahmachari also. Mahaprabhu was planning to reject him, you know, not allow him to join his kirtan. But then Mahaprabhu in his heart saw that he had a right attitude. So he called him back and then allowed him to be his associate. So in this way, you know, Krishna Prabhupada says in that whole conversation, Krishna does not interfere with the jiva. When we want to enjoy, he allows us to enjoy. When we want his company, he allows us his company. So this itself is his magnanimity. He is so kind that he has created this material world for our independently enacted activities and programs. He has created. And not only that, he is coming with us to accompany and bestow things which we want in the material world as super soul also. He is creating facilities for our nonsense program in the material world. You can see that. So, considering the mercy of Krishna, compassion of Krishna, the jiva should turn towards him and try to return back to him. And when we return back, probably we will have the knowledge of what made us turn away from Krishna in the very first place. It may be very difficult to comprehend. So Prabhupada has presented diverse truths. Jiva generally doesn't fall from Vaikuntha. Slipping and falling down is so impossible. But he can't turn away, and he has given many, many explanations how like a jiva may desire that I want to create something for Krishna. And then Krishna says, you have nothing to create. There are desire trees which can give you whatever you want. But if jiva insists on creating something, then Krishna makes him Brahma. But then he becomes Brahma. If creation job is over, he is happy, he may go back to spiritual world. But if Brahma becomes proud, then he becomes a human being. And then Prabhupada added a point. Every jiva becomes Brahma first. After that, which means all of us must have had four heads. Must have had Brahma before. Then disciple asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, everybody was Brahma. Are there so many universes? Yes, Prabhupada said, there are millions of universes. And everybody becomes Brahma first. And then they degrade to human and then animal and lower bodies. And then gradually they become purified and they go back. So, in this way, if any of you is more keen to know about these things, you can read that book, Our Original Position, published by GBC. It's a bulky and thin book, this much size, small size book. But if you have read Jaiva Dharma, and side by side you keep this original position and read it, it will be very easy. You will understand. And what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has done in Jaiva Dharma, like the question about the weak jivas point, why he is bringing, this is the type of questions that intellectuals get. That is why he has put those questions. Just like Parikshit is asking Shukadeva Goswami, you know, there is one verse he is asking in the 10th canto, after Shukadeva Goswami speaks about the rasa dance, Parikshit is like apparently shocked. He says, how is it the Supreme Lord, father of all religious principles, is dancing with other men's wives and gopis and girls and everybody? Will it not lead to some bad character of people in the world? So he's asking a question for the other people, sages and saints sitting there. So why Shukadeva Goswami is answering such a question? Because the reader of the Bhagavatam may get such questions. Correct, no? So our Bhaktivinoda Thakur also has done a similar thing in his book. But then threadbare, he analyzes the answers also. It's like, you know, kanta se kante kunikal navise, no? With a thorn, you take out a thorn. Similarly, he first produces doubt in the minds of the readers. And then he takes out that doubt and then provides the answer. And by reading those answers, our conviction and our determination to serve Krishna will increase by reading that book. And Our Original Position book has taken Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statements and elaborated more in line with Srila Prabhupada. So that is even more helpful. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki. It was too philosophical.
No, it was very nice. I had many questions, Prabhuji, like about this. Like, as first question.